I want to just take a moment to update you guys. Waited till the end of the year, and then we kind of get into the new year here. And I wanted to update you to let you know that from September, October, November, and December, that we generously were able to give and to collect $18,880 towards the One Hope Fund. It's part of our Stepping Forward to Make a Difference that more than enabled us to pay off our mortgage, which we did, of course. And I just wanted to thank you guys for being so generous to give. You guys, you made me just sort of like, all right, you're going to up the ante on faith? All right, you're going to make me up the ante on my own faith and how I live my life. Okay, here we go. I see how it's going to be. We're going to be this kind of church that walks by faith and just generously gives and chase a dream for God. Okay, all right, we'll do it. We'll do it. Thank you for making my job that much harder. I knew I could always count on you guys to lead the way. And so I'm proud of you, and I wanted to update you and tell you thank you for doing that. And so you'll see that kind of disappearing here in a little while. But thank you. You guys continue to encourage my faith. And I know I'm supposed to be up here encouraging your faith, and you guys are encouraging me. And thank you for that. You're blessing this pastor. And there's times where I need that in my life. And so thank you. Thank you for that. You guys, yeah. For you guys, thank you very much. Like, yes, chasing after. Now, in that, no better segue than to talk about Where's Waldo? Right? Like, what in the world have we done today? I know it seems unholy almost to have communion and then jump into Where's Waldo, but it's okay. Do you guys, all right, so this would be fun. I want to do, who knows what Where's Waldo is first? Just raise your hand. So, not where, what is Where's Waldo? Anybody know? So Where's Waldo? Kind of know. Okay, so for those that maybe a little younger and do not know what Where's Waldo is, I'm going to have to update my examples because apparently they're starting to get older as I'm getting older. And it's like, anyways, whatever. Anyways, but Where's Waldo was a game and still is a game, but it was a game that was in a big picture, Waldo with that outfit essentially is somewhere in that picture and you have to find him. But he's hiding, right? And so there's all sorts of stuff. And you're looking all over the picture trying to find, like, where in the world is Waldo? And so you're trying to seek him out and find him and identify Waldo. And so you go looking for Waldo. And you may wonder, what in the world does that have to do with preaching the gospel? I got to tell you, this was one of the funniest connections that I thought, oh, this is dead on. I love it. And so you ready for this? Let's go to it. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I want to read verses 1 through 10, a story that I imagine many of you probably know fairly well. You may have heard it before, or if not, that's okay too. It's a fantastic, wonderful story. So in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, I want to read from verse 1 through 10. It's a story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And how many of you in your head were starting to want to sing that little song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? Okay, fair enough. At some point, we got to get serious here. So, let me read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I'll start at verse 1. Luke writes these words. He says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. You ever heard people mutter before? He is going to be the guest of a, now look, in quotes here, sinner. We'll come back to that. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The Son of Man came to play Where's Waldo? That'll work, huh? Kind of like that, huh? I did too. I thought it was great. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to get here and tell you that. Now, we could probably look at different parts of this story, but the one I want to focus on is just one point, mostly just one. And that is that Jesus is coming, he's coming through Jericho, and Zacchaeus climbs up into this tree, and Jesus goes towards Zacchaeus. That Jesus goes to this person who is seeking to encounter him. Jesus doesn't stand off to the side when he's going through behind a bunch of people, you know, and stand over here and go, oh, look, there's Zacchaeus over there. Well, I hope he gets the gumption to come over and see me if he wants to seek after me, because I'm right here waiting on him. No, sorry about that. He sees Zacchaeus in the tree seeking after him, and he stops and he initiates an encounter with Zacchaeus. Sometimes for us, and I want to look at Zacchaeus in two ways for just a second. I wondered if sometimes for us that we're that Zacchaeus in the tree, not because we need salvation, but because we're seeking to have an encounter with Jesus. We're seeking to hear him respond to our prayer. We're trying to find him. We're going to the Word, saying, God, give me a good word today. Come on. Fill me up so I can go, right? I want to encounter you in the Word this morning or this afternoon or tonight or whatever, you know, and you're in the Word. We're going to have this encounter. We're maybe sitting there for a moment and just trying to be still before the Lord and hoping for an encounter. Wherever we're at, we're struggling, right? We're being weighed down. We just feel like we're just being pressed upon from different angles. And we're just saying, Jesus, I just would really love for you to break all this away. Man, I just, you know, we're climbing up in the tree kind of like a Zacchaeus and saying, I just want to have an encounter with the Lord right now. But also perhaps maybe we are seeking after Jesus, but like Zacchaeus, we haven't come to that point of decision to hear what he has to say to us, the truth of salvation that he would speak into our hearts, into our minds, and respond to that. Maybe that's you today as you sit here. You know the story, but you haven't yet to respond to Jesus. Notice at the end of the story, where does salvation come for Zacchaeus? It comes in his belief and response. Maybe you're in the tree at this point still sort of seeking and trying to figure it out, but you're seeking. And I love this story with Jesus going to the tree because whether you're in the tree seeking him to just know him, to encounter him, maybe for the first time personally, or you're seeking because you already know him, but man, do I just need a touch of Jesus in my life, you know, whatever that case may be, that either way, Jesus says, I see you, I know, and I'm coming to you. I will meet you in that tree. Because right now, you are my audience. And I'm not going to pass you by. And I'm not going to turn a blind eye to you. I'm not going to ignore you. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to go to you. And you will encounter me because I'm coming to you. I think that's a powerful lesson from this story and just the beginning of it. The idea that Jesus is coming, the idea that he initiates, the idea that he's coming to you, that he's going to those, right? And he responds to those that are seeking. Now, here's the interesting thing about this story. Jesus encounters Zacchaeus in the tree, but Jesus also, remember, he grew up in Palestine. He knows the culture, so he knows the conflicts that people have. He knows the rubs that the different groups of people have and their beliefs, right? I mean, he's listened to this stuff. He's watched it. He's seen people doing this kind of jazz. And in this moment, he knows exactly who Zacchaeus is. He knows that Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He knows he's a wealthy man. He knows that the Romans, whom everybody just hates, right? He knows that this dude's working for the enemy, and all the people know this, and so they don't like Zacchaeus because he's betrayed them. You know, it's like you've chosen to work for them who are our enemies. And on top of that, probably he took financial advantage of people and overcharged them in taxes and got wealthy on that. Now, he got wealthy being a tax collector, but he may very well have gotten wealthy from overcharging some taxes. I'm not even going to touch that with a poll for today. But he's taking advantage of his own people, and the law told him, do not take advantage of your brethren. Don't take advantage of your own people. Don't do it. That's one of the don't do's that God told the people. You don't do that because that's not the way we treat each other. That's not the way I treat you, and that's not the way I want you to treat other people, because I want other people to learn how I love them by the way that you treat other people. Right? So that was kind of the heart, the idea behind it. And so he's got two strikes against him. Not two, I count, I know. He's got two strikes against him right here. And the people don't want to have anything to do with him. They don't want it. They don't like him. They wish he was just gone. They wish he would stop and quit, and he really can't because now he's under the thumb of the Roman Empire and he doesn't have a choice, got to keep doing it. And so it's just a horrible situation, and more than likely he dresses probably quite nice. And so wherever he goes, the people can look at him and see him, know who he is, and turn the nose up or just turn their head away and ignore. Pretend that he's not there because they don't like him. You know, it's like when you're around somebody that you don't like and you don't want to engage them, you don't want to pay attention to them, you'd rather just ignore them, not talk to them, pretend they don't exist, because you're like, well, if I can't say anything good, then I just won't say anything at all. You know, I mean, y'all probably don't do that, but there are people who have the tendency to want to do that, and I can be that kind of person sometimes. So I'll preach to myself this morning. Jesus knows. And knowing that Zacchaeus is like an outcast, knowing that people don't want anything to do with him, what does he do? He stops and says, I want to have something to do with you. You may not feel like you're wanted, but I want you. You may not feel like anybody likes you, but I want to tell you how much I infinitely love you as your Creator and Savior. Jesus gets the plight of the outcast, and he loves the outcast. He loves the marginalized. He loves those that get picked on and belittled and betrayed and cast to the side. He says, my heart longs for them. He said, man, I've come to just those people who are broken. I've come to save them. I've come to heal them, to bind up their wounds. I've come for this. I've come to associate with these folks. I didn't really come to associate those who feel like they got it all figured out and they know what's right and what God should do and what God shouldn't do. And if they don't do it the way that they feel that God should do, then they're just, you know, they'll dog off anything else. He said, I didn't come to take the side of the prideful and the haughty and the self-righteous and the overly religious that wants to categorize and say some people are not worth the time and some people are too messed up and that's too much work and that's too much emotional energy to spend with these folks over here. He says, no, you know what I do? I go to those folks and I go to those encounters because those oftentimes will be people that are seeking. The self-righteous typically are not seeking people because I think they already got it figured out. The prideful are typically not self-seeking because they think they got it. Folks that categorize others typically are not the ones seeking because they've got the answers all answered for themselves and they know who fits in what categories. And they feel safe in their own category. Not that that can never be the case, right? With those folks, I'm not, so don't make an exclusive right there in saying that. But Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. I care about those folks. Now, I care about everyone, for God so loved the world, right? Well, understand something in this particular story. Jesus was making a point because the people that were muttering, that was pretty accurate too, I think. That's what Jesus sounds like. Because the people that were muttering, here's what Jesus knew. He knew that those folks had been teaching the wrong thing about how God loves people and about how they are to treat one another. And so Jesus is pretty particular in that statement when he says, seek and save the lost. See, when he says that phrase, he's actually pulling that idea from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Because in that particular time, God knew that the people, the leaders and the teachers, the people who ought to be influencing others about the truth of God were doing just the opposite. And God was angry. He was frustrated. And he called out Ezekiel, the prophet, to speak against that. He said, these sheep that have been scattered because of the wrong that you're doing and teaching and leading them, I will come and I will gather them. I will seek them out and gather and I'll save them. I'll do it because I love them. They're my people. And Jesus sees that in that day. So he's very particular and he says, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And that's probably encouraging for Zacchaeus, you know, because he, yes. But isn't it crazy how God can say two things in one sentence? Isn't that amazing? He can address two totally different audiences with one sentence. And it's not even a long sentence either, with a bunch of prepositions and all that kind of nonsense. It's just a few words. And he gets right to the heart of it. Whoo! He's pretty good. Now, here's the deal. You love the Lord, right? Excellent. All right, we're awake still. You love the Lord. You understand the Lord has called you to serve him and to follow him, right?
Right.
All right, cool deal, good deal. We're on the same page. Jesus has told the disciples, he said, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations. We know it's the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, with that whole sentence, I want to just connect you with the beginning. Go and make. Jesus has invited us to partner with him in this work of building his church. So it's really his work. I'm not saving people. You're not saving people. The Lord's saving people. He's adding to the church daily those who are being saved. But he has invited us to partner with him in that mission out in the world to be about doing that, which is, and I love how he starts it. He says, go, right? So he tells the disciples, go out the doors, not sit in the seat and let's see who shows up today. Let's see if we have any new faces today. He says, go. In your life that you live, you go and do the work of making disciples. You go out to the folks who are seeking. Go out to the folks, the outcast, the marginalized, the suffering, the broken, the rejected, prejudiced, lost, hurting, angry. I want you to go to those people. Because those are the people that I love. And I know that not all of them are seeking, but some are. And I want you to show them that I'm the kind of Lord that notices them when they're seeking. But I want to use you. You go and you make. You know what the first part of actually becoming a disciple is? It's believing the gospel message. It's salvation. Salvation is the entry into the kingdom of God that, by which you become a disciple of Jesus Christ and you live out his teachings. Salvation is the first part. So making disciples begins with what? It begins with sharing the gospel to the broken, the hurting, that the seeking may hear it, and the Holy Spirit would draw them, they may respond. Now that's kind of hard because sometimes people don't want, you're like, I don't know what they're going to say, right? It's like, that may be, I don't want to come off as like over-religious or like in your face. You got to come to Jesus or go to hell. You know, I don't want to be a turn or burn kind of thing. I don't want them to think I'm like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. And unfortunately, our tendency is to worry about how they'll respond, and we make it about us, and it's really not about us. It's about the person that's seeking and helping them see that the Lord sees them. The Lord is there. He sees them in the tree. He hadn't missed them. And he knows that people may very well have written them off. And you may know that with some of the folks that you encounter as you go out in the community and work and you're doing life and you see folks and you're going, this is probably some people that the others want to write off. But you say, you know what? I want to try have an encounter with this person. I just want to talk to this person. I want to listen to this person. I want them to know that Jesus loves them right where they are. And I don't know if they'll ever come to my church, but that won't be the point. I just want them to help, hopefully, to see that Jesus loves them right where they are. But also realize that probably that one encounter is not going to give me an opportunity. So in places that I might go regularly, I try to get to know the people that I see on a regular basis. Do you go places and you see maybe certain people on a regular basis? You know? Kind of thing, right? That kind of thing. And so it's like, who are those folks? And it's looking and it's praying with a discerning spirit. Who are these people? What's going on in their life? Listening to their story. What will they tell me? What are they saying to me? What are they not saying to me, perhaps? To listen. Get to know their name. You know, the sweetest sound to any person is their own name. Get to know their name. Use that. It's amazing. You use somebody's name. It communicates, I care. I care enough to get to know your name. The single most identifying factor of who you are, your name. Making the effort, you know? It's like, I don't know if they'll ever come to faith or not. And I don't even know if I'm going to ever get to share the gospel or not. But that's not the point. The point is that, like Jesus, that goes and right, in that moment, I too will go into that moment. And I don't know where that moment's going to go. And I don't know what other people are going to think. And other people might look at me and go, oh my gosh, hanging out with that sinner, you got to be crazy. They're going to talk to that person? They're going to be associated with that person? Oh my word. Are they off their rocker? What is going on? Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. See, here's the thing. You know in that story where sinner has the single quotes around it? Some of you probably know this, right? But that was not a term that Jesus was trying to give. It's in quotes because that is a term that the community was giving to this person. They called him a sinner. They categorized him. Now, did Jesus know this man was a sinner in need of salvation? Well, sure. But he wasn't the first one out there to point a finger and say, dude, you're all screwed up and you're ticking everybody off. If you better get it right so you can get saved so you don't go to hell. I'm so glad Jesus didn't go that way with that conversation on that particular day. Not that sometimes that conversation like that may not be needed, but that particular day, that's not where the conversation went. You know? Well, that being said, how might we do this? Be courageous. You're partnering with God, okay? Be courageous. Be bold and be courageous. Be strong. You know, as the Lord told Joshua, he said, you know, it's like, here's the task. I'm pointing you to this task, but only be what? Strong and courageous. Go. Be strong. Be courageous. It's not about you, right? I don't know what to say. That's okay. It's a good thing the Lord told the disciples when they're like, we don't know what to say. And he says, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll give you the words to say. You just go, and I'll put words in your mouth. Don't worry about it. I got you. Because this is not about you. This is my mission. I'm asking you to partner with me, and we'll go do this together. I'll do the heavy lifting. You just be a mouthpiece, and you be a presence. Be courageous to at least be that. Pay attention to the people you interact with in the places that you visit. Because there are people out there who are seeking. And they may not know how to ask. And they may not know what to say about it. But pay attention and try to build relationships, asking them how they're doing. Try to build good rapport with people that you interact with. Listen to what they say. Listen to maybe what they're not saying to you. Could I encourage us, listen to understand? Have I ever said that before? Goodness gracious. Listen to understand versus listening to be understood. You know the difference, right? Listening to understand is that I might actually get to the heart and learn something, discover something, versus listen understood. Well, let me tell you this. It's like, you didn't hear a word I said. All you did was listen so that you could tell me something, teach me something. I want to encourage you to show concern. Listen to understand. That's one of the great ways to show concern for other people. And when you get those moments, those opportunities, and you feel like, you know, butterflies are just kind of like going crazy and your stomach's like a notch and you're going, I think, you're like, you know, it's like, I got do the dance, you know, inside. You're like, I want to share. I think this is the moment. I don't know, but it probably is. It might not come again, but I feel like I can't just stop. I got to share it, you know, just like you got to do the potty dance or something. Because that moment is there. You know, you ain't got to raise your hand, but how many times have I been in that moment and I didn't speak up when I felt like the moment was a God-ordained moment to talk about Jesus and there was somebody who was seeking and I was scared, so I didn't say a word. Jesus, partner with me. I'll give you the words to say, but just be strong and courageous. Encounter the people in the tree that are seeking. I'll do the heavy lifting. Trust that I can bring a harvest in my timing. It don't have to be in your timing. Lord, I've been trying to build rapport with this person for the last 3 weeks. I go in this place all the time, and it's just like it don't seem like it's going anywhere. It's like, that's okay. Because remember, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And it's about this person encountering the Lord. And if we can just be a vessel of somebody, be a presence that would show the love of Christ, and if we get opportunity to share the gospel, and if we don't, that's okay too. But it would just be that presence, right? Be willing, engage him. God can do some pretty spectacular things. Now, you might say, there ain't no way I can remember all this kind of stuff. What in the world are you doing? All right, so let me boil it down and make it super simple. All those things are great, but what really matters at the end of the day is that you and I have a willingness to partner with Christ at any moment, wherever we go, and with whomever we meet. Will you just be willing? Just be willing. Just trust the Spirit of God to do a work through you and in you that is greater than yourself. Will you just come with that posture? Just start with that. And see what God can do with that. Will your heart just be in the right place? God can give you all the other things, but he won't make your heart be in the right place, a posture of willingness. He'll encourage us, woo us, invite us to this point, but at some point we have to make that decision, which we know, because there's times we share and there's times we're afraid and we don't. But, you know, there's times we engage, there's times we don't. Here's a good prayer. You ready for this one? When you wake up, You go, Lord, how can I serve you today? Who can I share you with today? Amen. How can I serve you today? Who can I share you with today? Amen. Super simple. A prayer from a posture of willingness to have an encounter with somebody in a tree, like Jesus, not afraid of what other people would think of us, not really concerned what they think of that person, what anybody else does, and what they may think of me if I encounter and start to build rapport with this person, whatever. But a willingness to just go. Because that's what the Lord does. He goes. And he says, go, 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 go and make disciples, right? So simple, isn't it? I mean, he's the greatest Where's Waldo player ever. I mean, he does it better than anybody. I mean, it's so cool, and we get to play that game with him. Now, I say game, but, you know, I'm sure you probably know my heart that it's just a metaphor. It only goes so far, right? So this is not a game to Jesus. This is of utmost seriousness. But he does, right? So it is what it is for an example today, okay? That's all I got. I quit. I'm going to come back tomorrow, but I mean. So here's the thing for New Hope. What does this year hold for us? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you this, with the elders, and we invite you to join us as well in prayer, as we are prayerfully in discussion asking God, and we're starting talking. God, where are you leading us? What's that going to look like for us? Help us to understand that. Help us to get just dialed in, nail it down like we got it and we don't want to be distracted. You know, I'm like, we're on it, Lord. We're going to go with it. We get it. We understand it. We see it. And we're chasing it with passion. That's what we're doing. That's where we're at right now. I want to invite you to join us in prayer as we're on this journey together, okay? But the heartbeat for us this year is going to be, what does it look like for us to go out and make disciples in our community and the world? What does it look like for us individually? What does it look like for us as a church? You know, the history of how God tends to work? It's kind of an interesting thing. It's what kind of gets me excited when I think about where we're at here at New Hope. Pretty cool. People tend to go through hardships and conflict and struggles, and they turn to God and they seek God, crying out to him, and they confess by faith that they're surrendered to him and whatever he wants. Be Lord of us and heal us and save us in this. Kind of sounds like the last year and a half. And the Lord responds. Why? Because he sees and he knows and he's aware. He's a God that goes to those who are crying out to him, seeking. And he says, I got you. And by the way, we're going to do some work together for my glory, to build my kingdom in ways that you don't understand right now. But I already see those who are seeking. And if you'll work with me, we're going to go encounter them together. And I'm going to build my kingdom through you. Through conflict, God heals his people. He builds them up. He draws them to his side. He gives them a plan and purpose that's connected to his very own. And he says, let's go chase it. Let's go do it. And then the churches that and the people that say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Right? Who can I serve today? Who can I share you with? Who can I serve today? Those folks that live that life, those are the ones who end up experiencing great works with God in the world. I think we're right there. And so my invitation for us is, let us pray together. Let us stay focused on being a church that goes out and shares our faith and the love of God with this community and around the world to serve people, to talk about Jesus, to be looking for those who are up in a tree seeking all around us. And let's see what God does that we had no idea was going to happen. Let's go explore it and discover it together. Can we do that? Amen. I was like, can we build that? Yes, we can. You know, Bob the Builder. I'm dating myself. Sorry. Sorry. I got to quit that. John, help me. Come on, man. Help me. Hey, would you guys stand this morning with me, please? Our worship team comes on up. They're going to close us in song today. And as we worship together in song and just celebrate God's goodness. Amen. Father, thank you for the words that you give me. Thank you for opportunity to be able to share your word, to talk about Jesus for a little bit. Thank you for the listening ears this morning, ears and hearts and minds that are taking this in. And I ask that you would take and the words that I've said and in the midst of my weakness and just being a human being, you would take that and speak to the hearts of all of us that are here by your Spirit. Teach us, build us up, train us for the work of righteousness in the world, that we would work with you to grow your kingdom. And we're excited and we're honored to be on that journey, that you would allow us to be a part of that. And it's so cool. Would you continue to guide us for your glory? Amen.